Tonight, shall we turn to 1 John chapter 5? Book of 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Tonight I want us to think about the subject, the Trinity. The Trinity. And we have it expressed in our verse here. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Tonight, as we go on, we'll be turning some scriptures more and more, because this is a doctrine of great importance. It has so many people saying many things about it. So if we also know our scriptures to help us, so that we can also understand it to help us ourselves, and also if others come with errors, we may be able to correct them. Trinity in the Bible is a doctrine that teaches that in God there are three persons, yet one God. Simply the teaching that there is a distinction of persons in the Godhead, or the deity or divinity. But before we consider our subject in detail, let us look at some of the other popular erroneous teachings that people have taught about this doctrine. There are so many teachings that are in error by many, many popular denominations or Christian organizations. So before we move on, we look at Jehovah's Witnesses. They are very popular on this. Let's look at what they say. Jehovah's Witnesses believe God is the creator and supreme being. They reject the Trinity doctrine, which they consider as unscriptural. For them, they don't believe there's any Trinity in the Bible. I mean, the Bible doesn't teach that. They view God as a Father and an invisible spirit person separate from the Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, the Father and the Son are not one. They are separate. Spirit or bodies, which means they believe, I don't know what they would ascribe to the Son as a lesser God, whatever. The Holy Spirit is described as God's active force by the Jehovah's Witnesses, rather than the third part of the Trinity or the third person of the Trinity. So they say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, as we know from Scripture that he's a person described, but they say he's just an active force. And God commands to do his work and all that. So they believe God is infinite but approachable. He's not omnipresent. They say that God is not omnipresent, but has a location in heaven. It is possible to have a personal relationship with him as a friend. He's kind and merciful and will not eternally torture wicked people. That's what they think of God. And they say that God, being respectful of the principles of free will, he does not force his sovereignty on people, choosing to save only those who want to serve him, even though the course of mankind in generally may lead them to harm. And you ask, whoever loved God naturally? I mean, by experience and scripture, we know nobody loved God naturally. So that's what they say, that they don't believe in the Trinity. Let's also look at other group. They are called the Oneness Pentecostal group, church. They are under the Pentecostal movement. They are called the Oneness. Their theology specifically maintain that God is absolutely and indivisibly one. Oneness Pentecostal believe that the Trinitarian doctrine is a tradition of men, and is neither scriptural nor a teaching of God, citing the absence of the word Trinity from the Bible as one evidence of this. They say that they can't find the word Trinity in the Bible, so it's not there. So that is what they say. Islam, they are also popular on this. Islam denies the doctrine of plurality within God. They say it is a denial of monotheism and foreign to the revelation found in Muslim scripture. They say that the Trinity denies the worship of only one God. So those who upheld Trinity are worshipping more than one God. I mean, they are polytheists. They teach that the Quran repeatedly and firmly accepts God's absolute oneness, thus ruling out the possibility of another being sharing his sovereignty or nature. So in Islam, the Holy Spirit is believed to be the angel Gabriel. That's what they say. Let's quickly look at the last one, the Mormons. They are also popular on this. They are called the Latter-day Saints. The Latter-day Saints. They say that the Godhead, the Trinity, refers For them, they believe there's Trinity, but look at how they also explain it. All the others don't believe there's Trinity, but these people, they say there's Trinity. They say the Godhead refers to a council of three distinct divine persons consisting of God the Father, Jesus Christ, his first son, whom the letter that they call Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost. So they believe there are three persons in the Godhead. The Latter-day Saints believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three distinct beings, and that the Father and Jesus Christ have perfected, glorified physical bodies. They say the Father has a body, the Son also has a body. That's what they say. That's what they say about it. While the Holy Ghost is a spirit without a physical body. So they say that the Father is not just a spirit, he also has a body, he has a physical body, as the Son also. They also believe that there are other gods and goddesses outside the Godhead, such as Heavenly Mother, who is the wife of God the Father, and that faithful Latter-day Saint maintain Godhood in the afterlife. What they are saying is that, apart from God, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the other little gods in heaven, they say that God has a wife, God Mother, they have a doctrine. Not all of them, but some of them are still maintaining that. And they say that they believe the Godhood after death, men become God. That's what they are teaching. They are found that Joseph Smith thought that God was once a man on another planet before being exalted to Godhood. So they say that God has advanced from being a man, like being a creature, and now he's God. So they think that believing that Trinity means that, one day we shall also become like God. So now let's come to our scriptures and learn. And see, these people, all that they say, they just pick a portion of scripture and dwell on it and say what they want to say. But let's look at what the Bible teaches. What we have read from 1 John 5:7, is that for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And most of them, these groups, take this portion of scripture from their Bible. They will say that in many of the ancient manuscripts, they don't have this bed. And so they take it out and then they... But without this, there are so many scriptures that confirm that there are three persons, there are plurality of persons in God. If you say God, it's not specifically stated as God the Son or the Father or the Holy. It means that the Godhead, the three persons are being spoken about. And most of the time in the Old Testament, when you hear God, except it is distinguished, it's about the Godhead, the three persons being spoken about. So we learn from the Bible that God is one, yet there are three distinct persons existing in God, which is called the Godhead. So I'll read from Acts chapter 17, verse 29. Acts 17. Tonight we'll be reading a lot. Because we have to prove them with the text of Scripture. Acts 17, 29. Let's see what we have. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone driven by art and man's hand. This was Paul telling the Athenians about, they were saying there was an unknown God, and Paul was telling them the Godhead, the word Godhead, talking about God, instead they have represented him as a man and all that. So, and Romans 1:20 also spoke about God's eternal power and God and Godhead. And Colossians 2:9, we learned that Christ is the fullness, he had the fullness of God, Godhead was in him. Let me read that. I think I have to read that. In Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9. For in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is Christ, in Christ, there is total God in Christ. Whatever Christ does is done by God. Christ is to confirm that Christ is God. You got the Godhead, the divinity, as we call the Trinity. Then in Christ, each one of them have it in fullness. So this verse says that in Christ, there's fullness of the Godhead. We have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The persons of God are given in order, but not in dignity or superiority. Some people think that when we talk about God the Father is greater than the Son or the Holy Spirit. No, they're just giving in order, but it's not of dignity. They are all of the same origin, quality, being everything, they are all the same. The persons in God are differentiated but not divided. We can see their distinctions, but we are not divided beings, as each does not exist separate from the other. They are not three gods, but one. There are three persons, as we see. Even the word person is not a perfect, but in human terms, we can't have a perfect word to describe the distinction in the Godhead. So we use the word person. To this thing, but it's not individual bodies separate from one another. They are one, and yet we see their distinction. And you know, God cannot be described. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, God said that, what can you liken me to? We can't have anything to describe what God is. But in human terms, at least, we can understand by other things. So I will quote a description here for us. Somebody used the sun to describe to us, to let us have the idea of the Godhead or the Trinity. He said that in the body of the sun, they are the substance of the sun. The sun is the beams, the light that shines, and the heat. We can feel the heat, you can feel the light, and the sun is there, but it's one sun. We can't separate the heat from the sun, we can't separate the light from the sun. The beams are begotten of the sun, the heat proceeded from the sun and the beams. But these three, though different, are not divided. You can't take the heat from the sun, you can't take the light from the or you can't take the sun itself from these two. They all three make but one sun. So in the Blessed Trinity, the Son is begotten of the Father, the Holy Ghost proceeds from both. Yet, though they are three distinct persons, they are but one God. So, the person used how the Son is, we see the light and the heat, and yet the Son is there, and they are all one. You can't take one from the other. And there has never been a time like the Son has been without the heat or light. It has always been. So, let's see where their oneness consists. In their nature, they are all eternal. In their nature. How they are all from everlasting. None of them came up after the other. There has never been a time one existed before the other. They are all of the same substance. Let's look at Deuteronomy 33:27. Confirm to look at this. Deuteronomy 33:27. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. We read, the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God. This God here does not only refer to the Father or the Son, the Godhead. The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. God is eternal. So each one of the persons in them, they are all eternal. Their nature are all eternal. We have Habakkuk 1:12, which you can look up to later time if you have time. In their own time. And also, we look at it, not only their nature, but their mutual conjoining in their being. Their mutual conjoining. Each one lives in the other, making them one in being, one God. They live one in another. In John 10:30, I and my Father are one. It isn't just an expression. It means how they live in one another. And in John 14:11, Jesus Christ said, in John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very worst thing. The Father in me, and I in the Father. They lived. Each one lived in the other. So you can't separate them. There has never been a time somebody did not live in the other. So this is their oneness in nature, and they are conjoining in one another. And also in the incommunicable attributes, the attribute of God that cannot be ascribed to man, his power, wisdom, mercy, holiness, the perfection of him ascribed to all the three persons we find in Scripture. So their oneness is in nature, in the attribute, and also they have been living, they've been conjoined together. Now let's look at the distinctions. Yes, they are one, but yet the Scripture also shows us their individual distinction. That is where people, sometimes they get it wrong. When they see the distinction, they say, oh, but Jesus Christ said he has a Father. Or this and all the back. You know that proving the Godhead, did not start from just the New Testament. From the Old Testament, it is so clear. As we go on, we will see that it's not just the New Testament that we learn that God, there are persons in God that more than one. But in the New Testament, there's greater light, which shows the clear distinction that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are being totally distinguished. So, the distinction of the person in the Godhead, we say God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, with the Word, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons in the Godhead. We may prove this from many inferences from the Bible. The first thing we look at is God's works in creation. We see the three persons acting in the God's works of creation. God the Father made the heavens and the earth. Remember in Acts when the Acts chapter 4 verse 24, when the apostles were being threatened, when they went to prayer, they mentioned thou God who made heaven and earth, and they prayed to him in that way. And they were mentioned, it was referenced to the Father there. But God the Son, who is the divine word, was present without whom nothing was made. In John 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without whom nothing was made. So we learn, God is the creator of heaven and earth, and we learn God the Son, God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the Son through the Word, without him nothing was made. So are we talking of two creators, the same creator, showing the different, distinctions in the work of creation. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the earth in Genesis 1-2. God said, let there be, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. So you see that three persons were all involved in the creation of the world. So when you read Genesis, and God created, it means the Godhead, the triune God created. It's not only God the Father, or God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. They all were involved in the works of creation. And let's look at God works in providence. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 63. I think we all have to read this. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7 to 14. And this is a record, the prophet was making a reference to the deliverance of Israel. And he was showing how these three persons are all involved in such a deliverance. And he said, verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, the Lord, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. For they that have brought it together shall drink it in the court of thy holiness. Go through the gate, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather up the stones, lift up a standard of the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold thy salvation. Behold his Sorry, I'm reading from chapter 62. That's why from chapter 62, verse 7 now, sorry. I mentioned the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord had bestowed on us, and great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he had bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie, so he was their Savior. In all the affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence. Mark, he has said the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord. And now he said the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and his pity he redeemed them, and he bred them and carried them all the days of old. And they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So we read of the Lord, the angel of his presence and his Holy Spirit. The angel of his presence, in the Old Testament, whenever we hear the angel of God and angel of God, refers to the God the Son, the God the Son who has not come at that time. So the angel of his presence, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, they were all involved in their deliverance. So he said the Lord, the angel of his presence, and the Holy Spirit, they were all involved. So God's works in providence all are combined to work for our own good. So let's also look at another part, the plural expression used by God when speaking of himself. God himself used plurality. When you are speaking, you talk of yourself alone as I. But look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image. In Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Let us. God is speaking to himself. Say, let us. And also, chapter 3, verse 22. We also have to use a similar expression there. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. God said, let us. And as one of us. God is speaking. As one. He's speaking in plural terms. And also, verse 11, verse chapter 11, verse 7. Another plural expression is there. 11, verse 7, it says that, go to, when the people had built the Tower of Babel and God came to see, he said that, go to, let us go down. And go to, let us go down. Whom is God speaking to? Go to, let us go down. God is saying, I am going down. He said, let us go down. So in three different places, so by these expressions and others, we see God speaking and sharing intentions. Then the question arises, whom or with whom did God speak? We also know in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 and 14, that God does not take counsel with any person, any creature, and not an angel. But as we have observed before, of the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surely among them were all these three conversations. It is within the Godhead that this conversation will ensue. It's not God that did not, reason with any creature. He only reasoned with himself and within the Godhead. And which was clearly manifested when Jesus Christ, God the Son, came and dwelt among us as Emmanuel, God with us. And when Christ came, then we understood how the Godhead really is. He came to, he brought the greater light to understanding. In the Old Testament, these things are the God said, let us go. Let us make man in our own image. But when Christ came, then we knew clearly what, God are. Let's also run to another portion, God's work in redemption and regeneration. The Father elects, the Son executes redemption of the elect, the Holy Spirit applies the redemption or sanctifies the elect. 1 Peter 1:2, we have this. Talking about those whom God has saved. He said that elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So it's in the New Testament, one time you see the word God the Father, distinguishing him from the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. So the three persons are spoken here concerning the salvation, the redemption of man. God the Father, the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit, application of that work to those who are saved, and the sprinkling of blood by Christ shedding forth his blood on the cross of Calvary. Then we have a similar expression. Let me add that one from Titus 3:4-6. Titus 3:4-6. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The kindness and love of God our Savior, this is God the Father, and what? By the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God is our Savior, Jesus Christ our Savior. So which Savior is it? It's in the Godhead, referring to the same three distinct beings, in the three distinct persons in the Godhead, talking about their work in our regeneration, in the work that Christ came to do. They were all involved. So it's that none less than God could undertake in the salvation of man from sin, not the angels, since they are also creatures. So is it the error of all this people that hold that the doctrine of Trinity is not true? They are always errors. They also are erroneous in their teaching when it comes to salvation. They always does not rest 100% on the redemption work of Christ. They always think other things can lead them to salvation and lead them to either their organization or either something else. Because once you have totally understood and believed Christ as God, the Holy Spirit as God, God himself as God, you can never believe on him as your Savior. You think that you have other means to have your sins forgiven, thinking God himself coming from heaven to die for sin, and then you are marveled, then you are so surprised that God should do this. So the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are of the same character, origin, and dignity, only could undertake this great work of redemption. Or else, if one was less than divine, then the work must be deficient. If any of them was less than God, then the work of our redemption would have been deficient. Because how can God work with a creature to deliver creatures. God never did that. God, salvation of man is entirely on, for by grace are we saved through faith. And it's a gift from God, it's not from man. Gift from God, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit joined together to bring our salvation to pass. So you see, those who kick against the plurality of persons in the Godhead always have wrong, I'm teaching on salvation of sinners. So this doctrine is important as to our salvation and every aspect of it, and to all the doctrines of the gospel, as to the planning in eternity for the foreknowledge, the intention of God, execution in time when Christ came to die on the cross, and the experience of believers when we come, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and bring us together into the family of God, then He saves us and He works in us to be submissive to God's will. All are done by God Himself. And we can also see this plurality in persons in the Godhead in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. When the Son, the second person of the Trinity, came to take on Him human flesh to be born of a virgin, we saw the involvement of each of the persons of the Godhead. In Luke 1, 32 and 35, we see this. Luke 1, Gospel of Luke chapter 1, 32, He shall be great, and He shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His Father, the Lord God, God the Father. And verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called God the Son. You see, the Son of the Highest, the Son, Christ is the second person, the Holy Ghost overshadowing the virgin's womb, and the Father also, the Son, he's called the Son of the Highest, and also the shall be called the Son of the Highest, and verse 35, what the power of the Highest, talking about God the Father. So all these three were involved in the incarnation of Christ, so that none of them was, so that each of the work that they do, all, if you study the Bible, you see that they were all involved in every aspect of the work. And also, we know also that Jesus Christ was united with God before His incarnation, and has always been His equal from eternity. It wasn't that at a point in time, as I've repeated before, Christ came to become His Son. You see, the error is that people think that God the Son, they think of in terms of human terms, God doesn't procreate. So the word Son there, we think of it in human terms, we get it wrong. It's not biological Son. It doesn't procreate. God does not procreate. It's eternal Son. That is how the Godhead is. Ever since they have been, and there has never been a time that God has never been. There has been Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There has never been a time that there was no the Son, and later the Son was brought forth and all that. No, there has always been that. And look at even how can we become sons of God? It's not by biological, it's by adoption. By adoption. By Christ's own, it's not by adoption. But I'm just giving an example that how do we become God's children? Not by our natural birth. By the work that God does in us. In the baptism of Jesus Christ, we see the same thing happening. The Son in his humanity being baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on Him, and the Father's voice was heard from heaven. Remember, God said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and the Holy Spirit also descended on Him, and there was God the Son. The three persons were united in His baptism to glorify Him. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And also in the prayer of the Son in His humanity. Here, Christ, John chapter 14, verse 16. I think I have to read this. Let's look at the prayer of Christ. The second person of the Trinity in His humanity. John chapter 14, verse 16. It shows the distinction that has been, it's in the Godhead. John 14, 16 now. He said, now I will pray the Father, that is God, the Father is God the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. That is the comforter here, the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Son praying to the Father, and that He sent the comforter, the Holy Spirit to come. He said, the Spirit of truth. So you see that here people will read it, oh, but he prayed to his father. No, this is here the distinction. When the son was on earth praying to the father, it isn't that the father is like, see, in human terms, no. It's being the eternal father, eternal son, eternal spirit being together here. And also in the endowment of spiritual gifts. And how the spiritual gifts are given to believers, all the three are involved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see this there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 6, we read that now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration by the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So you know from verse 4, the same Spirit, the same Lord, which is the Christ, and the same God, which worketh, God the Father, worketh all in all. So you see that the Holy, before anyone will be endowed with spiritual gifts from God, I mean, from all the three distinct persons are involved. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, God the Father, they all work together to endow us with our spiritual gifts for the service that we have to offer Him. So they all have equal authority in the dispersion of various gifts. Therefore, this must put to those who erroneously command the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, people think that the Holy Spirit is like in their teaching, they will not say that the Jehovah's Witness, that the Holy Spirit is an active force. But in practice, that's what they do. They command the Holy Spirit as if some force to come and work for them, and that's what many people pray now. The charismatics are very common in this, that they command the Holy Spirit. But when they think of God the Father, they say, oh, no, they can't command. But then they command the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is God Himself. How can you command God? How can you order Him to do things that you please? So you see, by erroneously having erroneous teachings about the Trinity will lead you even to pray erroneously, because you think that at least the Holy Spirit is like a force, as the Jehovah's Witness also saying. So there is a great sin to look less upon any of the persons of the Trinity. So what we can say, that what the spirit that they claim is not the Spirit of God, it's not the Holy Spirit, because it's a different spirit. You can't command the Holy Spirit and to bring fire to burn people and all. No, you can't do that. It's only God who can come Himself. And also in worship and duties of our devotion. In worship and duties of our devotion. In the ordinance of baptism, it is to be administered in the name of the three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 19, they should baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not the names. If you are talking of three different individuals, you talk of what? The names of so myself, in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making in the name of God in simple terms, but just making that extension so that we know that all these three, the divinity is clearly have been brought into distinction so that we can see they are working together for us. So believers are not baptized in the names, but the name is as prefixed to them, is as in one name of the three persons, God. As to three of equal honor and glory, who occupy the same position in our devotion and our worship. So in prayer also, the name of God alone is invoked. Sometimes each person is also addressed. We have Ephesians 3:14, Acts 7:59, 2 Thessalonians 3:4-5, 2 Corinthians 2:14, Revelation 1:4. I'll read Revelation 1:4-5 for us. That we can, if any of them is not absolute God, we can never pray to them. It will be idolatry. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the firstborn of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. You see that what? Grace be unto you and peace from Him which was and which was to come, and from the seven spirits, referring to God Himself before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. So John attributing this to the divinity, I mean to the Godhead, that all these three are in it, and from the seven spirits, Jesus Christ, and they are all faithful witness. Yes, by who the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, talking of him being resurrected from the dead, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. So we see the three, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in the presence of God, I mean the Holy Spirit and the Father himself, the Holy Jesus Christ, they, all of them are together in this that John is using here. So that we pray unto, I mean, at a point in time, we sometimes address the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all can be addressed when we are praying. And sometimes we address all three in one and all that. So each one of them, if any of them were less than God, then we are worshipping idols if we ascribe prayer to any of them. God alone ought to be worshipped. God told the Israelites in the Deuteronomy that God is one and there's what? Only one God. So now how do we pray for to three different gods? No, it shows that the distinguishing persons in the Trinity, and it shows that each one of them is God, not less than God, and yet God is one as each one of them is. So, if the, and then more time, the difficulty is people are, they know, people say, oh, God the Father, for his God is one, but then the issue people have is the second person and the third person. I mean, especially the second person. I mean, many people see many wrong things about him, like Jesus Christ. So if there was no divinity in the second person of the Trinity, then there can be no salvation. I mean, if he was less than God, since there would be no Christ to die and shed his blood to purchase our redemption, and also no one can benefit from his atonement, since the Holy Spirit is less divine. He cannot work, I mean, as God does. Then there will be no way to heaven for the doomed children of Adam. Also then, Christ has no power to forgive sin, but Christ forgives sins in the same authority as the Father with absolute what? Power. Christ forgives sin and it is absolute. It isn't that he has been given authority to forgive sin. No, he, because he was God when he was on earth. And also, if we don't believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit as God, then our prayer also is hindered, since there will be no advocate or mediator for us in heaven. Christ, who can stand before God? No one. Nobody can stand before Christ seated on the right hand of God in heaven, and that he pleads for us. I mean, the Holy Spirit helps us to take our prayer. Who can help us in all this if they were less than God? None of them is less than God, because they are all involved in the spiritual being of the Christian, our salvation. Whatever grace you have, they are all involved. And there will be no conviction of sin, comfort, peace, and rest for our souls. God, how can God bring this into our souls? God, the Holy Spirit, brings them to our soul. To our soul. When you read the scriptures, you have the comfort of it. Since it is the work of the Comforter, the third person of the Trinity, to apply this to our souls. The Holy Spirit has to apply the truth of God's word to our souls. He has to convince sinners when the gospel is preached. And God the Father has also sent his Son to come, and that Christ has come to die on the cross already, purchased our redemption. He's now sitting on the right hand of God. If any of them were less than God, they cannot be part of this work. God has not used angels to save us. No, they are also his creatures. The work of grace in the heart is only the operation of God, the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:12. The work of grace in the heart, we are told that, is the operation of God, the Holy Spirit. So these gracious works are done in us by God alone for our souls, and none less than God. Our Redeemer, the second person of the Trinity, did not rob God of his glory when he claimed to be his equal in John chapter 17, verse 5. And I'll read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and I'll come to a close. When Jesus Christ, it was said that he did not rob God when he made himself equal with God. Philippians 2, verse 5. Talking about Jesus Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, not in the form of a God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ never said that he was not equal. He said, I am my Father and one. And it was not as like, as the Jewish, the Israelites told him that he's blaspheming by calling himself the Son of God, which means he is God. It was not robbery that he called himself equal with God, because he is equal with God. He has all the power of the Godhead. He has all that the Godhead can do when he was on earth. He was only that he came to take human nature, and he manifested that in his human nature. But he has ever been, and some people ask, so when Christ was here, was he still here? Yes, he was still God, but he was still human. He's omnipresent. God was here, he was still in heaven. Those who prayed to him, he was still taking their view. He was a high priest from old, before he even took a human nature. Those godly people of old has always prayed to him, and he has taken their prayer. So you see that we see that there are three persons. There is no time for us. We don't have time to do that. Maybe next time we look at each one person and their distinctives properly. But this, we have put them all together. So we have learned that there's oneness in God, and there's also distinctions in them. So all the teachings of these other people, they say there's no Trinity, and I don't know where they can. Maybe they don't know where they can find it in the Bible, or it's unbelief, and it also characterizes their system of beliefs that it always leads into sin. So these great words we have in 1 John 5:17 is true, can be proven from Scripture and from many other places, from the Old Testament to the New. We know that there are plurality in God, and each one of them is the same as God Himself. So we say that for there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So if we quote this, we have also learned from that scripture that it is true. So may the Lord help us to learn further and to know this. It's a mysterious doctrine, and we can never understand everything about it. But at least what Scripture has provided gives us base to understand about it. And it's true, we have Trinity in the Bible. We don't have the word Trinity there, but the idea is so much. We have so many scriptures to confirm them. So may the Lord help us and help us to thank you. Shall we